Okay. You got a beep. Do you want to just say something?
What?
Okay. Now, I didn't think you did, okay. where were you born?
Suburb of Seattle called Bothell. Bothell.
I can tell you're a journalist. Spell it out so I'll know how to spell it. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were from the East Coast for some reason.
Well, I was back there in later years after I got out of college.
Uh-huh.
I worked in New York and Washington, Chicago, and so on.
Uh-huh. And how did you get up here?
Well, when I was a kid in high school, I used to come up in the summer and southeast to southeast and work in a fishing boat.
Oh.
The old Daisy. She's still in service, I understand, as a salmon packer.
Mm-hmm.
So, then it was a long time before I came back to stay.
What did you do in the meantime?
It was almost 30 years ago that I came back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. But in the meantime, I'd worked pretty much all around the country as a newspaper man. It's the only thing I ever knew.
Mm-hmm.
So, I broke up with my first wife in Chicago, and I couldn't take it anymore there, so I decided to come back to the Pacific Northwest. And, I fooled around for about 6 months before I went to work. And I went to work in Yakima. That's 140 miles east of Seattle, across the Cascade Mountains. And then I had a vacation coming after a couple of years, so I decided to come up and have a good look at interior Alaska. And so I was wondering what I was going to do when I left and came over to Seattle, and so I got on Alaska Airlines plane, came to Fairbanks, and I liked what I saw, so I decided I'd get a job on a news minor. It didn't work right then, but I wound up in Ketchikan.
Mm-hmm. How'd you wind up in Ketchikan?
Well, because I left here and went to Anchorage and worked on the Anchorage Daily News for a while, and filling in for the editor who was on vacation. And when he came back, well, the owner's wife, who seemed to run the whole show, said, "We no longer need you." He told me I could stay on as feature editor. So, I wrote a couple letters to Ketchikan, and he had told me in the meantime that he was quitting,
mm-hmm.
and was coming to Fairbanks as editor on the news minor, and would I like to come along? And I said, yeah.
This was the guy at the Daily News in Anchorage, or the guy in Ketchikan?
No, the guy on the Daily News, the editor. So I wrote these letters to Ketchikan and to Juno, and the next day, Cernick, the editor in Fairbanks, got a call from the owner of the paper in Ketchikan asking a lot of questions about me, and so he said, "Well, we want a guy temporarily," and that's what I wanted, was something temporary, because I was coming up here.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to come here more, and I wanted to stay in Southeast. So he said, "Well, send Gregory down." So I went down, and I worked there for, until about the 6th of September or something like that. Then I got on a plane, came up here, and And I worked in the News Miner for about 4 years.
When was that approximately? Was that, and what date was that? When, what year was that approximately?
Well, that would be 1956 and 57 in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then well, I came back up here and worked, and then they called me from Ketchikan one day and asked me if I'd like to be editor down there. And I said, yeah. And I was getting a little tired of it here, mm-hmm. the harassment and all that, you know. And so I went down there, and then in about, oh, around 1961 or so, I guess, or 62, I went up to Juneau as editor there. And then I got fired after Hickel got in office. He told the owners of the paper, who were from Vegas, that I had been very unfair with him because I wrote editorials lambasting him almost every day about conflict of interest. You see, he's running against my friend Bill Egan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they came up to pay their respects to the new governor, and they came by the office first, and boy, they were slapping me in the back about what a swell job I was doing, and they ordered a $50 a week raise for me. 45 minutes later, they came back from up in the hill and they fired me just like that. They cut me from ear to ear. So then I came up to Fairbanks. Senator Greening arranged for me to be public relations for the A-67
mm-hmm.
centennial. And after I got up here, well, these people here said, no, we can't do that. See, after I had a letter from them about a salary of $1,500 a month, which is good money then,
mm-hmm.
and all this, no, they couldn't do that. It turned out, of course, that Hickel was the boss of things by then, and he wouldn't let them hire me. So the word got around town fast, and the guy ran a little radio station out here. I guess it's probably, oh, I forget what, I never know those names, you know, call numbers. So he said he needed a local news show once a day, and all he could pay is $250 a week, but it would pay the rent over there in Northward. So I said I'd take it, and that night he called me and he says, I'm sorry, I got to turn you down, because the guy that owned the station was a campaign financial manager for Hickel's run for governor.
Oh, those long tentacles crossing was just a very difficult man.
So then I heard, got a call from the guy who owned the Petersburg and Wrangell papers. And he made me a pretty good offer, and I said, am I going to get started down there and get fired before I even get to work? Nope. And he said, absolutely not. I won't take any of that son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had the Petersburg Press, so then it was bought by Charlie Willis, who was then president of Alaska Airlines.
Mm-hmm. I knew that name was familiar.
And so let's see, how was that? Oh, he called me one day and he says, be down here tomorrow, I want to talk to you. Seattle. So I went down there and he says, let's see. Get up to Nome. I want you up there by tomorrow. And I said, well, Jesus, Charlie, I can't do that. I got to talk to my wife about this. It was then my then wife, who later died of cancer. And he said, no, get on the phone there, right in his desk. And I call her and tell her. Don't say, can we or anything. Just tell her you're going. And I said, well, geez, that's just unreasonable, you know. So, anyway, in about...
First the native... One floor down. Okay. The next floor down.
I remember she said fifth or fourth.
That's okay.
So, we got up there in about 2 weeks. So then one day he called me down and he says, when I walked into his office, he said, you just bought the Gnome Nugget. I said, Christ almighty, Charlie, you're just being unreasonable with me. But anyway, we worked out a deal and there I had the Gnome Nugget, where I spent the next 12 years until June of 1980. Mm-hmm. And really enjoyed it over there. Then I retired. Of course, I got married in 80, earlier in 80. And then Jane was over here, see? Mm-hmm. And we had bought this house that I hadn't even seen, and you've seen it now. Mm-hmm. And then, so there's where I live.
that's pretty much covered it. Yeah, a lot of ways. Okay. why did you want to be here all the time? I mean, what did you like about it that never sent you back? I mean, you never mentioned that you ever thought of going back outside once you came here.
No, I am. As a matter of fact, we go outside about once a year, and I can't wait to get back. Every time we plan to stay here 2 or 3 weeks, after a few days, I'm ready to come back. Mm-hmm. And I never feel good until I know the plains over southeast Alaska. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then I feel like I'm home.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people like it here?
What?
Why do you think people like it here so much?
Well, it's the friendliness of the people, generally. Mm-hmm. And sort of a, in a way, a happy-go-lucky way of life. They don't take each other too seriously. Sure. And that's good in people,
that's
you
really
know.
Good. That's an insight that nobody else has said, and I think it's very important. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just plain like it, that's all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I always have. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that living here is such a difficult place in so many ways? Do you think that do you think the land shapes the people or the people shape the land?
I'm turning this up so I can hear you better.
Okay. Oh, here, I'm sorry, because I realize my voice is very soft.
It's all right.
From a philosophical point of view, would you say that the land here shapes the people by the hardships, or the people shape the land, you know, in a sense?
Well, it's a case of the people shaping the land, and I hope they don't overshape it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I'm not an environmentalist in the sense that some people are environmentalists, where they don't want any progress mm-hmm. at all. They want to leave the streets dirty and all that, thinking that's the Alaska way. And I'm for a proper use of the resource, mm-hmm. not only in, say, woods and minerals and all that, but in people,
mm-hmm.
you know. I don't think that people should be exploited. They should be allowed to go their own way. As much as possible to shape their own lives. And I think that's one reason why a lot of people come up here.
Yeah.
Just to get away from that rat race down in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And God, you know, you run into such funny things now. One time we were in Seattle and they were building what was to become the Washington Plaza Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out of Frederick and Nelson's on Fifth Avenue and walked down to the corner down there, which would be Westlake, and right across they were building this hotel, and up about 40 floors they were putting up steel and all that, and these guys were running back and forth on these steel girders. And so I just stood there watching this thing. Well, at the time, they were having these campus riots, and they finally said that no more than two people could join up and just talk in the street. You couldn't have a group, because it was getting out of line. So I kept looking up at this, you know, and looking up at this. Pretty soon I was aware of the fact that people were looking at me and then looking up to see what I was looking at. Must have been 25 people stopped and gathered around me, you know, wondering what I was looking at. So, geez, all of a sudden this cop came along and he had a nightstick and he whacked it on the pavement and walks up to me. He says, "What the hell are you doing here? Get away from here. Come on, beat it, folks, beat it." And he said, "What are you looking at?" And I said, "I enjoy watching construction." I said, "See those guys running around with beams up there?" He said, "Yeah." He says, "Where are you from?" I said, "Alaska." He shook his head and he walked away. He says, "That figures."
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, do you notice a difference between Southeast Alaska and the interior and Nome? Do you notice any difference in people or philosophy between Southeast and, say, Nome or here?
There are four or five different kinds of people, completely, really.
Oh, what do you think?
They are, their whole outlook on things is different, you know.
You mean four or five different kinds of people in Alaska, or
Oh, viewpoints on things, generally speaking. You can even watch the way the elections go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And see how different.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a writer, particularly, and a journalist, you must have a lot of insights into people that the ordinary person wouldn't have.
Well, I suppose. Because you're always looking for something interesting, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you sort of see life a slightly different way than most people.
Yeah.
Yeah, would you feel that way? Uh-huh. And how would you phrase that, and how...
Oh, searching.
Mm-hmm.
Searching for the different. You know, I guess that would be it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly look and sound as though living here has been very good.
Oh, yeah, it has.
Any incidents over the years that you really think of and remember?
What?
Any special incidents over the years that you particularly remember?
Well, there's been a jillion of them. It'd be hard to track them all down. There's been sadness and gladness and all that that I guess you anybody's going to encounter that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the loss of a loved one, like my first wife, for example, getting married again,
mm-hmm.
all that, you know, you go from these up and downs,
mm-hmm.
so on. Yeah, I love the newspaper business where I could write the editorials and say what I thought. Because to me that was very important.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know I blistered a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. I'm loved and hated all over the place.
Well, that's better than not being having any feeling at all, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of being going through life is the courage to say what you feel.
Yeah.
And
like these people who write to the editor and don't sign their names, no newspaper's gonna tolerate that stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I ran into it again on the Prudhoe Bay Journal.
Oh, did you? You have people write
so I wrote a letter, and I said I had to sign it. If you don't have the courage of your convictions, don't make these statements.
Mm-hmm.
And show people who you are. Show you got any guts.
Mm-hmm.
I said people that refuse to sign letters to the editor are people who have no guts at all. They're weaklings, they're cowards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee. That really arouses some people, which again, that won't sign.
Which again, wouldn't sign.
No.
Oh, isn't that interesting? After all that, they
mm-hmm.
didn't even, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They can tell me what a dirty son of a bitch I am
mm-hmm.
without even letting me know who it is that's talking.
Yeah, I think that's very difficult, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it just shows we have all types in Alaska.
Oh, yeah, we got them. We got the best and we got the worst.
Yeah, I think we do. I think we really do. But you know, when you live here, just as you said earlier, you live here because of the people.
Mm-hmm.
What characteristics do you think are so different here than anywhere else?
Well, people usually say what they think.
Uh-huh.
Where down in the States, they so often pussyfoot about everything. Hey, I'm going to have to worry about that parking meter.
Okay, just, well, let's see how...